part of the Press Play Podcast Network.
It's Friday, April 26th, and welcome to Exit Polls, a new podcast that's part of the Press Play Podcast Network about politics and what's going on in today's headlines. I'm your host, Steve Phillips, and we'll be talking every other week about the 2024 election, and we'll be here trying to understand and make sense of what's happening in politics in this hugely important and pretty chaotic and yet also existential presidential election year. So let's get started by looking at headlines. What's going on in the headlines and what's going on in the news? And so today's pod will be like a show with expert analysts, such as top NFL draft prospects. We're coming out the day after the NFL draft. Except I'll be playing all the parts. But when you watch a show, they go to, you know, well, let's bring in the NFL expert for talk about this, which quarterback should be going top, and what are the assessment and analysis of folks. So to play that part, I'm going to be dusting off my law degree and offering some legal analysis of some of the things that are going on that are impacting politics this election year. I did a little bio on the last episode, but I do, in fact, in a prior life, was a lawyer. So I'm still technically a lawyer. Went to law school out here in California and practiced law for several years. And either I'm on hiatus or recovering or something like that. But I think I know enough to be able to maybe share some insights about what's going on in the political sphere from a legal standpoint. And those are the two dominant realities of what I want to talk about this week. So this week, I've got, you know, one theme and two topics. So the theme is Trump on trial. And so that'll be the overall piece. And then the topics are the Supreme Court hearing about one of Trump's legal cases and his legal exposure and vulnerability. And then the other is about, well, the salacious part is about porn star Stormy Daniels, yet there's a lot of legal underpinnings to that as well. So those would be the two topics. So let's look at what's happening in headlines around that. So the first piece is the Supreme Court. And so this is airing on Friday. And so yesterday, Thursday, Supreme Court had a hearing on the question of whether or not Trump is immune from prosecution. And a broader, you know, legal question ostensibly is whether or not the president is immune from legal prosecution for what they call official acts, is kind of the legal topic of this. So, in particular, it has to do with he is facing criminal charges and a criminal trial for his role in the insurrection in 2020 and 2021 in his attempt to overthrow and undo the election of Joe Biden. And so he is facing a criminal trial on that for those actions by the Justice Department. That has been delayed. That trial has been delayed. And so that is part of the backdrop of all of this, is really this question of delay, delay, delay. The Supreme Court could have actually heard this case earlier. They didn't have to hear it at all, actually. Lower courts have ruled on it. So there's a lot of speculation that the whole point of this has been, well, certainly there's no speculation at all. It's very clear that Trump's whole objective has been to delay everything. But the speculation has been that the Supreme Court has been kind of complicit in this tactical delay to be able to run out the clock, like you see in different sporting events, right? You know, the football team gets the ball, you know, with whatever, 2-3 minutes left, and they can, you know, get a few first downs, they can run out the clock entirely, and so that the other team doesn't even have a chance. And so that is, in essence, what Trump has been trying to do with these legal cases, is delay, be able to get this to the past the election, so it won't be factors that impact the election. And we'll talk a little bit more about the potential political impact of all this. So the Supreme Court had this hearing, really looking at the issue of can a president in general and can Trump in particular be tried, period, for their what they did during office. And so that's what a lot of this was about. So I would say first about this that there's a fiction that happens in the law, even like, and I remember being in law school, and it's that the Supreme Court is this neutral, objective body that looks at the, you know, what are the prior legal cases? It looks at the facts. It looks at the Constitution and tries to make these reasoned opinions around how we should function as a society and what our rights and obligations are to one another. But that's not actually what's going on. And so I remember I was to a civil procedure class and I was in law school. The professor was talking about two different cases. So there had been one case that had been decided one way, and then a number of years later, the Supreme Court went a different direction. And so the fiction is that it's all good faith, logical reasoning, et cetera, et cetera. Why would the court rule differently? What changed in terms of the facts or what they were considering? What logical arguments did they consider? And I remember looking at that, it's all like, none of that is relevant. It's different people. The one court had one set of people, and then you had some people changed on the court, and then they changed the decision. It's not like one unbroken, consistent, logical train of analysis. That's the fiction that gets held up in law schools and in the media overall. And I think that that's the overall key thing to recognize in looking at this case. It's a different people. This is a Donald Trump court. He's appointed a bunch of the judges, and so the court is favorable to him. They give him, at worst, the benefit of the doubt. At most, they're bending over backwards to try to benefit him. And so if you really want to, you know, get some flavor for the arguments, what the Supreme Court was considering, that I suggest you look, and if you can follow on Twitter, Ellie Mestel, and he's at L-E-N-Y-C, E-L-I-E-N-Y-C. And he's a lawyer and author of a number of books. And he's written about, you know, the Supreme Court, what things have actually happened under Trump. And so he's a great follow. And so he was following along and reading this court case. So I'm just going to read one of his tweets from the Supreme Court oral argument. And so he says, the Justice Kagan was asking if a president, quote, literally ordering a coup would be an official act. She was asking that and questioning Trump's lawyer. And then it says Trump's lawyer, under his theory, it is an official act, and he's trying so hard not to say it. And it's like listening to the internal monologue of an addict trying not to hit the pipe again. So that's just a little bit of the flavor of Ellie's analysis. If you really want to dig down into how all that's playing itself out, I really commend looking at Ellie in terms of how he's following all this. So the fundamental point of that is it's a Trump court. They're bending over backwards. They're trying to figure out how to help him. And so we'll see how all this plays itself out. So I would just say a couple of things in terms of what reading the tea leaves around what we think it's going to happen. Kind of like we don't have the benefit of a, you know, Adam Schefter, you know, tweet that's got the inside story about we heard such and such is going to happen in the draft. But I think we can kind of read tea leaves in a similar fashion. And so it's most likely what's going to happen is that they will push the case to basically to delay it, send it back down to the lower court. There's a confusing question. How do you define this piece? And so it's a procedural measure that doesn't take the radical step about saying there's no accountability at all for a president. It procedurally has the effect of benefiting Trump because it delays this and plays itself out. So that's likely what's going to happen with the Supreme Court case. It's depend. I mean, Ellie's quite dismayed about the lack of good faith. I get it, but it's, you know, I wrote a book called How We Win the Civil War, and then arguing that the Confederates have never stopped fighting up until the insurrection and today. And so if you accept that premise, the fact that the Supreme Court's manipulating all this process is not shocking. So, and in some ways, you know, it's a kind of a low bar, but the good news is that it's unlikely that you're just going to blatantly eviscerate the Constitution. But the bad news is that they are likely to, you know, manipulate the process. They may not even decide until late June or early July, which then further makes it harder for the federal government to bring that case, because then they would go back, they would decide that in late June, then it would have to go back to the lower court to decide. and all of that would just make it hard, if impossible, to try him on that case before the election in November. So that's kind of where things are at with the piece around the Supreme Court hearing that took place. And so let's take a break, and then we'll come back and look briefly at the other cases, because this is just one case. And then I did want to dive in some more to the current cases. There's an actual criminal trial of the former president of the United States going on. So after break, we'll come back and discuss that.
Hey, this is JD from the Hyman Podcast, a place to have hard conversations revolving around the overall human experience. We tackle topics such as racism, the American justice system, and even headlining news such as the Alex Murdoch saga. This season, we're going to continue to tackle more hard-hitting topics, and I'm excited to take you on that journey. The Hyman Podcast is available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. The Hyman Podcast is produced in conjunction with the Hyman brand and is part of the Press Play Podcast Network.
What's up, everyone? Chase Smith here, host of the Chase Smith Podcast, and my podcast reflects who I am. My hobbies, my interests, my passions, my curiosities, my careers, my questions, and my family. I'll spend time talking about all types of sports, movies, TV shows, trending news stories, and other cultural events, and even faith. This is who I am, and I hope I can get to know you as well. Join me on the Chase Smith Podcast, and let's have some thought-provoking conversations, only on the Press Play Podcast Network.
Okay, so welcome back, and we're still looking at the headlines, and one of the big headlines is what's going on in New York with this criminal trial. But before delving into that, just to also frame up that there are these multiple trials, right? So there's the federal case for his role in the insurrection. Basically, it's about whether or not and when that case could go forward. So that's one piece. There's also this case down in Georgia, where Trump had called the Secretary of State in 2020 saying, I just need you to find me 11,000 votes, meaning that he wanted to overturn the results, where he was losing by 11,000 votes. And so that case has also been delayed, but that is still in the pipeline in terms of going forward. So the case that is happening now, because you may be reading about it in the headlines, is this case in New York State Court. And that's an important point, state court versus federal court in a legal matter, is that because part of this point about delaying is that on the hope that if Trump could get reelected, then he would be able to dismiss all these federal cases against him. But even if he were reelected, you can't dismiss the state charges. So it's important to recognize that the former president of the United States is on a criminal trial that could put him in prison. And this is happening right now in the state of New York. And at its essence, so there's this Facebook meme going around that I think it kind of boils the whole thing down. And this was like from a couple of months ago when it was determined the trial was going to go ahead. And so it's got Snoopy on top of his doghouse, and he's typing on a computer. And then at the top has the words, and then America was saved by a porn star, the end. And in a lot of ways, that is the essence of this New York case. So Trump is accused, though, but interestingly, everybody has really denied this, had this affair or whatever with porn star Stormy Daniels. So she was going to come forward and go public in 2016 about what had happened. And so that trying to hide that affair in the context of the presidential election is really the essence of what that whole case is about. And so with the government is arguing, and the reason Trump is on trial, going to dig down a little bit to the more legalistic piece of it, is that he was engaged in a conspiracy to deceive the public and influence the 2016 election. And so that's what that case is about. And the underlying piece is this Stormy Daniels affair and how much they hid it. And so they went to the National Enquirer and they worked out this deal with them, this whole thing about catch and kill. And where that the National Enquirer would pay money to somebody who had a story and had evidence or something that would be damaging to Trump, pay money to that person, and then not run the story. And so this is the piece about, that's what the concept of catch and kill is very much what the National Enquirer did. And so the gets over into the conspiracy, the criminal part. So Michael Cohen, who was Trump's lawyer, his top like fixer, his, well, I'm going to say Olivia Pope from the Scandal days, but, you know, it's kind of, I don't know if a black woman character extends all the way to the white guy, Michael Cohen, but that role of fixer. And so then you had Cohen went, because then Trump is famous for being cheap. People really need to also realize this. So he didn't want to pay the National Enquirer for these catch and kill stories. And so they were all like, we don't know if we can trust you to pay us for what we're trying to do for you. They got Michael Cohen then to go in, and he put up the money. And so Cohen puts up this money to pay the National Enquirer so that they then sign this deal with the porn star Stormy Daniels so that she can't take her story anywhere else, but then they never run it. That's the kill part. And so then it was this whole extended thing. Now, Trump holds himself out as a billionaire. Bear that in mind. But then he's talking to Michael Cohen, basically hemming and hawing about, is he going to pay him back? It's like $150,000 or something. Is he going to pay him back? Is he not going to pay him back? They work out this deal where they pay him over, maybe it's over a year or so, and they classify it as for legal services because he was a lawyer. And so that's how they tried to cover it up. And I'm pretty sure of this, right, that they were doing this in the Oval Office, reaching, having these conversations and this agreement. So that is kind of the essence of what that case is about. They're hearing the case in New York. They've seated the jury. Trump has to sit there. Oral arguments have been made. The witnesses are coming forward. The National Enquirer's publishers having to testify. Michael Cohen's going to testify. And that's going on right now. And so there's been some coverage of it, but it's important to recognize that Trump could face 4 years in prison if he were found guilty of this conspiracy. And so that is quite consequential in terms of the election. So that's the second case, the Stormy Daniels porn star, America was saved by porn star potentially. So let's now, having looked at the headlines, let's turn to the whole Coach's Corner analysis of all of this, right? So what does this mean in terms of the election, how things are going to play themselves out? So I think just a couple things on that point. So fundamentally, and this is what turns to what we're talking about, the Supreme Court case, the courts are not going to determine this. There's a lot of reluctance, and they keep talking about, you know, a president's never been on trial, you know, blah, blah, blah. But it's like, well, a president has also never done the things that Trump has done that have led to him being on trial. But it is very unprecedented, and there's a, you know, ferocious base of support from the MAGA crowd that I don't think the courts are going to want to intervene. I don't think they're going to basically save us. Although this New York case, this ironically may be, so it's not the insurrection, it's not trying to overthrow the government. It could be the porn star thing that may actually find him guilty, but that's going to be hard too. It's one thing if there's like, you know, some unknown, you know, non-prominent black dude got caught up on a corner carrying some drugs, it's easier to say, yeah, that person broke the law, we're going to throw him in jail. But the, you know, this famous celebrity former president to really be able to say, yes, this person broke the law, it's just a much harder psychological thing to do. So I don't think that the courts are going to save us in that regard. Elie Mostel's take from the Supreme Court hearing was that they're definitely going to try to delay this to benefit him. So in terms of the election, I don't think that these court cases are going to be determinative. And also, it's not even clear yet exactly how it's going to play itself out politically. And there was one podcast talking about all this, and they looked at this one voter says, like, I'm going to vote for the person with the most indictments. And so in a lot of ways, this is solidifying Trump's core support. So there is a question about, will it alienate some, you know, of this very small number of Republicans who are have a hard time tolerating all of the stuff that Trump has done? Will it alienate them? Will it alienate them enough to not vote? Will it alienate them enough to even potentially vote for Biden? I mean, you don't see evidence of that. The level of grace that he is given in terms of people forgiving him, very prominent Republican donors holding fundraisers for him, corporate people backing him, the shame has not manifested itself. So I don't think you can really put a lot of stock in that these court cases are going to peel off all these odors from him, because we have not seen it in the polls, we've not seen it in the elections, and he's going to be the nominee. So long story short is I don't think that these court cases, while salacious and while prominent and while big in the news, are and have great consequence. And maybe that's the final thing, as I'll say, is that they, although I don't think they're going to impact the election, I do think it's important for the democracy and for the country itself, right? And that, you know, down the road, I may start doing some awards themed with different sports things. But I think looking at this Trump piece, there's two parts to it, that it is in some ways, he is like the Deshaun Watson of politics, where there's all these charges against him that he just keeps denying and people not paying attention to it. And so he has gotten away with everything. Trump has gotten away with more than Watson. At least Watson was suspended for a little bit for the Browns and whatnot, and ultimately did have to pay out and settle those lawsuits. But this is the first time in Trump's life, really, where he's had to face any accountability. So that's one consequence, and that's meaningful. But most importantly, it's for the country's democracy in the future. Is this a democracy? Is there accountability? Can you actually participate in a coup against the elected leaders of this country without any consequence? So for these cases to keep going forward and keep moving forward is important for the long term of democracy in this country. And so that is the significance and the meaning of these. But in terms of the 2024 election itself, I don't think they're going to have a huge impact, and I don't think we can be counting on that happening. So that's what I wanted to share on today's episode of Exit Polls, and that the bottom line of all that is the election will not be decided by the courts, it'll be decided by the voters. And so as we move towards the next episode, we'll see you in 2 weeks on this pod, I am going to want to start talking about and looking at some of the voters, and particularly young voters. I'm going to try to incorporate an element into the pod. I'm going to call Campus Conversation. I've actually got a niece who's in a campus in Texas and a niece who's the campus in Ohio, and see if we can kind of get from them some of the voices on the ground of what are the questions, what's the thinking of young people as we approach this election season. So that's a wrap for today. Be back in 2 weeks with more insights and analysis. If you have any questions you'd like answered on the next episode, feel free to submit through my website, stevephillips.com/exitpolls. You can also tweet me at Steve P. Tweets. All right. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back in 2 weeks.